Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you, Father God. Lord, that you bring your people together. Father, that we might just come, praise and rejoice you, Father. Lord, we gather around your word, Father, and hear of your goodness and what you're doing in your people's lives. So, Lord, let this be a day that we will stand in you, Father. Lord, as we're encouraged in the word this morning, to stand firm, to be strong, to be a people of power and a people of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians and singers. It is a real joy for me this morning to see a daughter and three grandsons on the platform doing what God wants them to do. And that really touches our hearts as grandparents and parents. But just see how God has blessed our lives with a quiver full of grandchildren. And it's just a joy to be able to say that every one of them is a child of God. And that's just an amazing, awesome thing. And I want to encourage every parent, parents to be, grandparents, whatever your position is there, press in for your kids. Press in. Pray for your children. Really encourage them in the things of God, because we want to be a fruitful people. Amen. And to see just what God is able to do in our lives. Amen. What a wonderful day again. It's been a great week of weather-wise, and spring is a great time of the year, isn't it? Really great time. Everywhere you look, you go out into your gardens and there's buds and things, and the weeds are just growing faster than we can speak, so to speak, sort of thing. They outgrow everything, but all the shrubs and the bushes, they've had that sort of hibernation time over winter, and they're just busting forth, wanting to grow forth and burst out and grow and produce fruit. And as gardeners, it's great, isn't it? And we just look forward to see what all this plant life, all these shrubs, the plants we're still yet to sow, just to see how, God's creation is just bursting forth out everywhere you go. In the country, all the lambs, all the lambs are lambing, and Ross has got about 10 calves on the ground at the moment. I think there's still another 18 to go, but that sort of thing. It's good to see that how life comes forth and how God has so created his creation that, we're able to reproduce all the time. And you see that golden canola, and it's just an amazing, beautiful sight to just see this sort of swaying yellow bush that gives you all your cooking oils and margarines and all that sort of stuff. But it is a great time of the year, isn't it? But it's more the greatness of God as we just look around and just see how God recreates everything and how everything grows. But this morning I just want to talk about God's weapon in the hands of men. And that's the word of God. This word that God has given us, it's mighty in the hands of God's people. Amen. Everyone would agree with that, just how powerful this book, this word that God has given us is in our hands. When we're able to just speak it out, speak forth, testify of it, tell people of God's goodness and what he's done in our lives and what he can do, most of all, what he can do in that person's life. And so today, I just want to encourage you with that this morning, that God's weapon in the hands of God's people is mighty and powerful. Amen? And when we know it's a life-giving word, it's life-giving, it's convicting, isn't it? And it brings understanding, it brings the truth the truth of the word. You know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And it's welcoming. God invites us to inquire of the book, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And it is welcoming. It's always encouraging us. It's a mighty provision that God has given us. And as we have this book, as we get God into our hearts, we can come boldly before him, can't we? We can come boldly before him. And again, it just brings comfort to our lives. In times when we just feel a bit down, we might feel despondent or discouraged or whatever, we can come to this word, and this word will lift us up. Amen? This word will lift us up. And so this morning, I feel two great provisions that will encourage us as believers in our faith. It's this Rhema word of God, this Rhema, the authoritative word of God. That's what it's all about. The Logos word, the completed word of God. It's all there. Nothing is left out. Everything that God felt that had to be in this book, it's been given to us. And there's many, many other manuscripts and things that were written, scrolls that been written many years ago in the times of the Old Testament prophets and even before them. But there's so much in the Word of God that we have today. But so that just 2 points this morning. One, it is the Word of God, amen, that Rhema word, that Logos word, and the ministry of our great high priest, Christ Jesus, amen, in people's lives. And as I want to bring forth this morning, it's the Word of God which reveals whether a person is living a soulish life or living a spiritual life. You get that? Whether a person is living a soulish life or living a spiritual life. Because we are to be a fruit-bearing people, as I just emphasized sharing before, you know, about how all this new growth. But as people, we need to be a fruit-bearing people. We sow spiritual seed, don't we? We sow spiritual seed to grow what? We want to grow spiritual people, amen? To grow spiritual people. And this is Grow Church, and this is what we do here, don't we? We want to grow people, and for people to become a type of people that God wants us to be. And we just see our young children, the others out there. Sure you do too. I just love seeing all these children growing up and just starting to reach their potential. And when they start coming on the platform and becoming involved in youth and Sunday school and others who come into the church, you get involved in home groups and the other midweek activities of the church. And that's the encouraging part about it all as us, as ministers anyway, as pastors, as overseers of the church, to see people grow and come to reach their potential in the things of God. It's so encouraging. So that's all a part of this fruit bearing, being a fruitful people. And as we become involved, as we do the things that God wants us to do, we can reproduce ourselves in so many ways, can't we? In so many things. But in Matthew 7, 16 there, it speaks about the type of people that God wants us to be and the life that we display in our everyday Christian walk. In there, in Matthew 7, 16, it says, you will know them by what? Their fruit. Their fruit. We will be known by our fruit. And if we are fruitful people, see, the people will see that, and they'll be saying, hey, I want some of this. I want a taste. I want what you've got. And so if we are that type of people that God wants us to be, if we are being a fruitful people, if we are reproducing, we will attract others to be the people that also that God wants us and them to be also. And the second point there I want to bring out is about the ministry of our great high priest, who is able to bring us into immediate fellowship with God. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus. We want people to come to know Jesus, don't we? Because that's the entry into the kingdom of God. That there, and as we bring people to know Jesus, they come into that fellowship with God immediately, you know, because we can come boldly, can't we? We don't have to be a fearful people. We come boldly, which literally means without reservation, and we come with frankness and full and open speech, and we are free to open up and lay everything out at the Lord's feet. And that's what the Lord tells us to do, asks us to do. He says, my yoke is light, you know. And if we want to lay things at the Lord's feet, he will undertake for us in a very special way. So we come to that place. We invite people to come to that place, a welcoming place, the throne of grace. The throne of grace, you know, it's just where God is. And it's a place where we can enter without fear. We don't have to be, it doesn't have to be a fearful experience. Come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into that place, we approach a welcoming place, and it's a place where, we're, as I said, we can enter without fear, because it's not a place of judgment, is it? It's a welcoming place where God is leading us into. And we come to this place, we obtain mercy for the past. We can leave the past behind, and we receive grace. We receive grace for the present and the future. And that's what God lays out for us. So I feel it's a place where God is inviting us to come, where he is inviting those who don't know him to come to that place. It's a place for those who know Jesus, and it's a place for those who want to know Jesus. So we enjoy that mighty presence of God as we come into that place. And it's a place, you know, where we go in life, we're always filling in forms and and all that sort of thing. But in the kingdom of God, we don't have to fill out an application form. We don't have to show this certificate or that certificate or any other thing. During the week, my wife and I, we had to go to the Vic Rhodes office in Sunshine there to change over some registration things. And they said, oh, you've got to have your marriage certificate to change a car, Billy, would you believe? to transfer a car from one name to the other. So that's what the law requires. So we oblige. Otherwise, if you don't, you're in trouble and you don't get what you want. So we do that, but the kingdom of God, you know, it's not about all this officialdom or legalism, all those sorts of things. God extends an open invitation to us to be a part of his wondrous kingdom through that receiving that wonderful person of Jesus in our life. And from the moment that we respond to that invitation of Jesus by saying yes, that very moment you say, I want to reside, I want you to reside in me. We're there, we're home and host, aren't we? We're a part of God's great and awesome, wondrous kingdom. And you know, the moment that happens, we have immediate fellowship with God, don't we? The way is open because we've asked Jesus to come into our life, and it's just an open door into the presence of God in his throne room. And I spoke about how important the word of God is, and as it says there that in Hebrews 4:12, how powerful this word of God is. In Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12, yes. And it says here, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's powerful, isn't it? Of how powerful the word of God is. We know we can read scripture. Sometimes it'll really jump at you and you'll go, "Ooh." The word does touch. It does cut. It penetrates. And so there, it just says, shows how powerful that this word is, how sharp it is as we read it and we come to understanding of knowing this word in our life. And so, but it's all about understanding the power and the presence of God's word. Amen? The power and the presence of God's words that you have in your heart, that you have hold in your hand, the book of the word of God, and how powerful it is. And so as we take hold of this word, you know, and we get to know the word, that's when we become mighty and powerful. We can be a mighty people, can't we? We can make an amazing difference in people's life. We can have a powerful impact on this community if we're prepared to be a people who'll stand and testify of God's goodness and the word of God, how Jesus Christ in a person's life can change their lives forever. And so as I said, you know, we become mighty and powerful when we use this word of God, when we allow the Spirit of God to have sway in our life. That's probably the key to it, isn't it? That when we allow God to have sway in our lives, when we allow God to have his way, not our way, Lord, your way. We do think God's way. We do think things God's way. We allow him to have sway and have him the power to work within us. And that's when God works through us. Amen? That's when God works through us. And so there, but right throughout the ages, you know, we've seen that how God's people have been able to perform mighty and awesome deeds, you know, as they've just waited upon the God waited upon the Lord and to be led by the Lord. We heard that word this morning that came from the platform about waiting. We are an impatient people, aren't we? We want things now, instant coffee, instant this, press button, everything, blah, blah. You know it all. But often we are just not prepared to wait, and we try to run ahead of God, and that's where we come unstuck, don't we? We just need to be waiting on God. When that says wait, that's all some people do. They wait and wait and nothing happens. Because nothing will happen because they're not waiting in the right way. They're not seeking. When it says wait, that means, you know, you're seeking God, you're communicating with God, you're talking to God in that waiting period, whatever God's leading you to or wanting for you. But, you know, we have to be proactive. We have to be doing something. We have to be asking God, well, what is it, Lord? Show me. Show me your ways, Lord. Show me your ways. And so we do that, but that's when God works through that. And so there, but you know, we have to just take up this sword of the Spirit. And our pastor has spoken a lot about it this year because of our theme. We're called to war. And When we take up this sword of the Spirit, that's when great things happen. You know, the words, we need to put this word on our feet, don't we? We talk about it a lot, we speak about it a lot, but actually putting it into gear, having that shoe leather commitment of being able to walk in the Spirit, walk in the things of God, and to reach out into a community that needs Jesus in their lives. So I just want to share from the second, so I'll get to that later, but I want to speak a little bit this morning about a few of David's mighty men of valor who distinguished themselves in battle. And I want to speak a little bit about the story of Eleazar. Eleazar or Eleazar, say it however you want, but there's a book full of names in this chapter here in Chronicles, but half of them I can't even pronounce, and I'm not going to try. But Eleazar's name means God is my helper, amen? And so this man, a mighty man of battle, one of David's one of his key leaders, soldiers in battle. But so his name meant God is my helper, and just as God is your helper, and he will be with you, he will be with us, amen. And so above all others, there were three particularly in this passage of scripture that I'll come to in a moment three were particularly honoured. There was Joshua, Shammah, and the great Eleazar. And the record this there in the book of Samuel and also in the book of Chronicles, which I've got now. In the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, sorry, chapter 10 that should be, chapter 10 verses 12 onwards a little bit. Now these were the heads of the mighty men, were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to his word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. And it goes on to say them names I can't pronounce, but trust me, they are all there. And it goes on to say, after him was Eleazar, son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. So David, he singles out these three mighty men there, and I'll come to a little bit more of that in the moment. But in here, we see that it battled. It seems that David here has returned to his old battleground, where many years before he confronted the giant Goliath. So it's interesting that God has brought him back to this very place, this place called Pasadamin. And it's called the Dell of Bloodshed. A dell is a place. And only came to mind, I remembered when we were living in Oyen, in the Mallee there, we used to call a place Fairy Dell. I don't know why we called it Fairy Dell, but it was a place. But here, this it says here, the meaning of Pasadamim is the Dell of Bloodshed, a place of bloodshed, a place where many wars were fought. But this place here, Pasadamim, seems to have a recurring headache for Israel. They were drawn back there all the time through all their fighting and wars and bloodshed and everything like that. But and what we're seeing there, we go back to King Saul. He was held up there by the Philistines. And who saved him there? David, the shepherd boy, wasn't it? And so And now David is returned to this place facing the same enemy, the Philistines, in another confrontation, in another battle. And so, what we see, I feel there's something to be learned by us through that we see how David has had to go back and face the old enemy in this place. And there's something for us to learn of how the enemy will often take us back to old battlegrounds. You felt that in life? I'm sure we've all experienced that at some stage in our life where God has taken us back, and we're or not necessarily God, but we've gone back into the old places, which they're withdrawn and gone back into these old places where we had to fight and struggle to get out of many years before when we came to know Jesus. So we see here that, you know, David is being drawn back into the old battleground and to face the foe. But often we see that's what the enemy will do. Take us back to the old battleground, places where he's held us up in the past, or led us away from where we want to be going. So true, isn't it? So true. The enemy will use any excuse or opportunity to draw you back, to draw us back, to draw me back to the place where the enemy wants us to be. And that's at our weakest point, that weakest place, the place where we gave into something or whatever. And the enemy, as we know, in warfare, the enemy will always attack the weakest point. And the enemy in our lives will always seek to attack our weakest point. We all have weaknesses, don't we? And whatever they are, but we just want to be on top of those things and situations. So we see and we know that he will break through at your weakest place, then attack your stronghold. Our stronghold is in God, isn't it? And that's what the enemy wants to break down, bring down, knock down, whatever. And he will just try to break your spirit, you break your strength, weaken your faith. He will attack all our faith levels, and he'll even afflict our body with sickness and disease. So that's the only way the enemy can harm us, is to attack us in a physical way, and to just to weaken our faith levels and to dissuade us. And but there's one thing that he can never do. Anyone know what that is? What's that one thing that the enemy can't do? Take away our faith. Take away our faith, take away the spirit. That's one thing he can never do, and that is, it's in our heart and soul, isn't it? The spirit, the love and the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy can't take that away. He'll try, but he can't, because that belongs to God. Amen. And what's God is God. And God is a jealous God, and he won't allow that to be taken out of our spirit, because the Lord has placed it there. Amen. So the scripture tells us in Romans 8:35 that we have this everlasting assurance that has been spoken there. What to say? Nothing or no one can separate us from what? God's great love. Amen. You all know that. So so we encourage that, and that's what we stand firm in, don't we? We stand firm in that belief, that the assurance of Christ's present love, it's the no matter what factor, isn't it? No matter what, whatever happens, nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God. So like soldiers, you know, the like we We have to be on watch all the time, don't we? We have to be vigilant and constantly on guard, watching the enemy, and we don't allow him to get a foothold into our lives again, because God has invested a lot in us. He's invested so much in us, and we have to protect what God's has given us. And we don't want to be going back fighting all these battles over and over again, don't we? And it's so sad sometimes people who do have problems and afflictions, they keep going back into those circumstances, and they have to really fight with everything that is with them to overcome things in life. So, but particularly for us as Christians, as God's people, we don't have to be fighting a war. We just want to be walking in the Spirit, because why? We are more than what? We're more than conquerors. Amen. God has given us the victory, and we want to walk in that victory. And we're not going to be shaken. But here we see at this place, Pasadamon, the Philistines, they arrayed themselves against the forces of David's army. And these Philistines, as we know from past readings, they posed a formidable foe, you know, and it says in the scripture here, all the men of Israel were gone away. They fled because of the Philistines' presence, and all that seems to have been left was David and a couple of his co-soldiers to stop this onslaught. And it tells us there that they went to a field of lentils, field of barley or something, and they stood in there and they stood still, and they took up their positions, and they stood against this foe that was against them, and they annihilated them. And it tells us there that the sufficiency of Eleazar's weapon, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. So there we see that they stood in the Lord's strength, just as we all need to stand stand and see just what God will do. Stand and see, wait and see what the Lord will do as we wait upon him, as we trust upon him. But soldier Eliezer, a mighty man in battle, strong, he trusted his weapon, and it was his life, it was his protection, and he used it to great advantage. It's pretty gory stuff when you read some of this, how they just annihilated people, because of the way they lived, they were disobedient to God. But this man, he had a trusted weapon, and in the Australian Army, an Australian soldier is issued with an automatic rifle, and each soldier is taught to know everything about this weapon that he's given, and before long, he can dismantle it, he can reassemble it, and he can do it blindfolded within seconds. And that's how well trained they are. And he is the only one who's allowed to clean his rifle. And if he loses that rifle, he misplaces that rifle, he's in a bit of trouble because he hasn't looked after the weapon. And that's the same for us, isn't it? God's given us a wonderful, awesome responsibility, and he's entrusted us with this word, and he wants us to look after it like the soldier looks after his weapon, to treat it wisely for us, and to look after, to care for it, to nurture the word, all that type of thing. But the point of all this, its point of all this training, is so that when he goes into battle, the soldier is not concerned about whether his weapon will fail him. He trusts it. And that's how God wants us. He trusts us with the word. And so we have to know this word and look after it. He trusts it because he knows it completely. Do we know the word completely? I can't say I know it completely. I know some of it, a lot of it. But we need to know it better, don't we? We need to know it better. And that's why I'm encouraged. It says meditate upon the word daily. And it's not always easy to do, to sit down and just to make that time every day. But, you know, we should try, at least try to do that. Every morning, not every morning, I'll be honest, but I try every morning, I'll say I try every morning just for the sake of words, but every morning I have my breakfast and I spend that time, I have the book Every Day with Jesus. And so I spend that time, I read at least a chapter of the Old Testament, a chapter of the New Testament, and, excuse me, with the writings in between from the Psalms and Proverbs, and there's time of prayer. So that encourages me, that builds me up, that lifts me up, and that's what we know. I encourage you as a people to try and get into that pattern. It's not a study pattern, it's not so much a study. This is a study pattern in a way, but it's a study for our daily guidance, is it? It's a good way to start the day. You may not do it in the morning. You may do it at night, but whenever, whatever part of the day, try and do that. It's not always practical or possible, but I at least try to do that. So I encourage you as a people to do that, you know, because God trusts us. And we need to just know this word better, like the soldier knows his weapon. But this man, Eleazar, by the constant use, he had mastered that sword. And before he even came into the battlefield, he probably spent hours, weeks, months, whatever, just training how to use that sword to advantage and to be familiar with it. He had to know how it felt. He knew how to wait and which way to use it for greater force and effectiveness. But he was familiar with its feel, and it just appears it became like a part of his arm. He used it so well. But what happens here is Eliezer's word provides us with a picture of the weapon that God has placed in our hands. Amen? This weapon that God's placed in our hands as believers, as Christians. And in Ephesians 6:17, we've heard this many times already this year, how we are told to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there, we know this word, this eternal word, it's an unchanging revelation of the living God, an unchanging revelation of the living Word of God, the Scriptures. But the question is, do we know our weapon? Do we know our weapon? And I want to encourage this morning, this book, the Word of God, this book, you're going to be assured that it is the living truth. And you can, of every line, every word that is written here, is the truth of the God. But we want to be able to uphold this powerful weapon and testify of how it can change a person's life. Amen? We want to be able to stand firmly and say with confidence and assurance, this is the unfailing truth. This is God's word. It is absolutely reliable. You can trust it. You can take him at his word. You can take God in his word. And just as I finish, I believe there's an answer in this word of God for every situation that you will ever face. It's this word for every situation that you will ever face. And I'll finish here with a but. But if we haven't spent time in the Word, we won't know the answers when we need them. Amen? So bless you all for being attentive and being with me this morning as we've stood together. But thank you. I just like to encourage every person here today just to stand strong. And when you feel a little bit shaky, just lean on God. Lean upon me. Lean upon me, says the Lord, and I will lift you up. I will lift your head high. You will walk and stand straight and look to me. You will constantly look towards the heaven. And as you look around, you will see what I'm doing. And you'll be able to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Have that confidence and hope in the Lord. Trust Him. Trust in Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything that is within you. Trust in Him. Look to Him for every everyday situations, things that you come up against, things that you struggle with, things that you want to see change. Just ask God and see what He will do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.